The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one about whom Moses wrote in the law and also the prophets, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." But Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Here's the feast of Saint Bartholomew today, who our scriptures call Nathanael, and just in case you're curious why. Nathanael is a first name, literally. It means son of Ptolemy. And Bartholomew is literally a last name. Nathanael is a first name, and it means gift of God. And Bartholomew literally is a last name. It means son of Ptolemy. So it's one of the rare instances in which we know both a first and a last name of an apostle. And like so many of these ancient apostles, we know very little else about their life. No one's quite sure where Bartholomew preached. Some people say he preached in Armenia. Some people say he preached in India. The fact is, we really don't know. These apostles were so busy telling us about Christ, they didn't take a moment to tell us about themselves and to ease our curiosity. There's only one fact about Bartholomew that seems to be very well established with a great consensus among all historians of the church, and that was the way in which he was martyred. Perhaps you've heard this before, but Saint Bartholomew was skinned alive, which is the most gruesome of all the deaths of all the apostles, for my nickel's worth, at least. If you ever go to St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, you'll see on the back wall of the Sistine Chapel a picture of a man with his skin flopped over his arm. That's St. Bartholomew. Or if you walk down the nave of St. Peter's Basilica and you gaze upward at the monumental statues of various saints and apostles down through history, you might catch sight of one young man who appears to be remarkably physically fit, with very low body fat, until you recognize it's a picture of Bartholomew with all of his skin taken off, flopped over his arm. The most gruesome death of all. And you know, our story starts today with Philip coming up to Bartholomew and saying, "We found the one who Moses wrote about. We found the Messiah, Jesus from Nazareth." And Bartholomew answers, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And understand, Bartholomew was not a fisherman. He was a scholar of the Jewish law, which meant he would have known his Old Testament. Saint Jerome, traveling the Holy Land in the 4th century, comments that he rarely met an Israelite boy over the age of 10 who did not already have committed to memory vast amounts of Scripture. So he would have known his Old Testament. And the fact of the matter is, in the Old Testament, Nazareth just doesn't factor in as a city. It's just too small. There's no mention of any battles, there's no mention of any miracles, there's no mention of any prophets, and there's certainly no mention that the Messiah is going to come from Nazareth. But today I want to focus on this. Not so much on what Bartholomew asks, but on the fact that he's free to ask it. Because one thing we need to be aware of is that our faith welcomes scrutiny. Questions for us are not threats. Understand, we have a God who wants to be known, who revealed himself to us in Christ because he wants to be known. And did you know that Jesus takes the greatest commandment from the book of Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. And he adds the word mind to it. God wants you to love him with all of your mind. We have a faith that wants, that is a God that wants to be known, and a faith that does not resist scrutiny. Unlike an ideology, just as an aside. If you ever want to know why the Catholic faith is not a cult or an ideology, it's because cults and ideologies very strongly resist questioning. A simple understanding of an ideology is we take an idea that we very much want it to be true, and we hold it up, and we insist that it must be true in spite of all evidence to the contrary. A really great example of an ideology would be communism. It's the most well-documented failure in all of history, but all these people, they so desperately want it to be true. It's an ideology. And you know what happens when you question an ideology? You're considered to be a traitor to the cause. This always arises among political parties and political movements. If you go back through history, you'll find several of these ideologies. The French Revolution, for example. If you so much as questioned or were suspected of questioning any of the principles of the Great Revolution, it was straight to the guillotine with you and off with your head. Or Stalin's Russia, or Hitler's Germany, right? If you even so much as shadowed a question on the great foundations of this obvious truth, it was fines, imprisonment, or perhaps even death. That's not the Catholic faith. We welcome scrutiny because we've got a truth to proclaim. It doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from God on high. And we wish that everybody would know it more. Any unbiased mind will see this. Now, a lot of the questions people ask, they simply come from ignorance. They don't know something about the faith. They don't understand it. It seems unnecessarily complicated. That's fine. Any unbiased mind will see the truth. Some people ask questions because they don't want to know the truth, but because their questions are thinly veiled attacks on the faith. And these usually take the form of questions that are ridiculous at their face value. These people are not seeking the truth, and they're not going to find it, because you have to actually seek it to find it. But a lot of our questions that we have about our faith arise from the fact that there's suffering and injustice, and we don't understand how a good God could possibly allow it, or why our prayers aren't answered. These are the questions that God welcomes more than anything else, because understand this. Our faith is not so much the study of a discipline, you know, as if we were physics or chemistry or history. Our faith is an encounter with a person. And the closer you come to the Lord, the better you're going to understand, which is why we come to understand better through love than through study. We come to understand better by keeping his commandments than we do by reading books. It's why some of the most unlettered, unschooled, undocumented people in all the world can be the best friends of God and know him very, very intimately. Until there comes a point in which you don't have any more questions. Not any more questions that arise from doubt, at least. The only questions that you have left arise from love, that you want to know God more and more and more. There's only two things that Jesus asks of us. Two things. Number one is patience, and number two is surrender. First thing he asks is patience. See, the fact is, God will let you know who he is on his own time, and it's a mystery, and I honestly don't understand it. Some people come to know God very, very well, very, very quickly, and others seek God for the whole of their lives and only come to know him at the end. I don't understand it. But God does, and all I can say is this: be patient with yourself, and be patient with others. The second thing to understand is that Jesus asks surrender. The more you know him, the more you will want to know him. The more you love him, the more you will want to love him, and the more you want to love him, the more he will ask of you, which can be very challenging indeed. We'll ask for the prayers of the saints to help us in that today. St. Bartholomew, pray for us.